Over the past number of months, we spent many weeks going through the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, Paul outlined the contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And we talked about the fruit of the Spirit very briefly at that time. But I think that it might be worth our while to focus on these traits of character for the next few weeks. And so that is the plan. We're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit. But before we do that, we need to look at the whole concept of fruit bearing. As believers, what does it mean to bear fruit? I'm reminded of what the Word says about us as believers in Jesus Christ. The words of Jesus as He spoke to His disciples the night before His crucifixion in John 15. Verse 16, He said, "You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide or remain." We are to be fruit-bearing believers. This is a very important concern of Jesus. It's interesting to note that in these chapters, John chapter 13 through 16, as Jesus talked to His disciples in what we sometimes call the upper room discourse, the night before His crucifixion, He spoke to His disciples about many things, and He discussed at length the Holy Spirit. But in these chapters, He never mentioned the gifts of the Spirit, but He talked about fruit. He talked about bearing fruit. And so we want to look at that a little bit this morning from these verses that we read earlier from John 15. A few things about bearing fruit. First of all, fruit is a naturally occurring event. Where there is life and vigor in a plant, there is fruit. It just grows there. When you plant seeds, they grow up and they produce more seeds or fruit. Fruit doesn't necessarily mean a peach or an apple, but whatever the plant produces, the fruit may be a seed of wheat, but it's what is produced. And it grows naturally. That's what we expect. A few months ago, when we went down south to get some dental work done, and we spent a few days in Yuma, in our hotel, we were on the second floor, and when you went out onto the walkway outside, right outside the walkway was an orange tree. There were several orange trees, and it loaded with oranges. They weren't quite close enough to reach. The ones close enough, I guess, had been picked already. But there were oranges there. Nobody had to go out and hang those oranges on the tree. They just grew there. They grow naturally. And that's the way it is in the spiritual realm as well. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is life, spiritual life. And where there is spirit life, there is spirit fruit. Or at least there certainly should be. Jesus said in John 15, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser." I am the vine, He said, the tree that grows up. And then in verse 4 He said, "Abide in Me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Me." And then He says again, "I am the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in Me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from Me, you can do nothing." If we have that abiding relationship whereby we are connected to the vine, connected to the tree, the trunk, where there is life, fruit bearing takes place. It's a natural occurrence. Fruit occurs because God produces it. It just grows there on the trees, and in the same way it should grow in our lives. It's one of the laws of nature. Fruit is a naturally occurring event. Secondly, fruit is determined by the source of strength. By that I mean the type of fruit, what you get. When you look at an apple tree, you expect to see apples. An orange tree produces oranges. Now, I understand that you can do all kinds of things with grafting and so on. But if it comes from a particular kind of tree, it's going to produce that kind of fruit. A grapevine produces grapes. What would you expect if you look at a thorn bush? I guess whatever thorn bushes produce. But you see, the life comes from the roots. It comes through the stem and into the branch. And the type of tree and the source of that life is what determines the type of fruit you find. And again, there's a spiritual analogy. In Galatians 5, we read back then about the contrast between the flesh and the spirit, and the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. If we're connected to worldly roots and we're connected to fleshly roots, we expect fleshly results. And we find those in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. And I'm not going to read all of that, but the works of the flesh that are evident, sexual immorality and impurity and all of these things that are evil in nature. But the Spirit produces something else. If we're connected to the vine, to Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, we produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I did memorize them. They just about left me again. But anyway, we produce those things because they come from the Spirit. Now, the interesting thing to me is that this fruit, if you look around you, if you were to talk to people, it's really what most people are looking for in life. The problem is they just don't know where to find it. They don't know where to get it. Quite a number of years ago, a survey was actually taken, a very extensive survey was conducted in the United States by a leading polling agency, and questionnaires were distributed to people of various ages and different occupations and all kinds of realms of life. And the key question was, what do you want or what are you looking for most in life? And when the results were compiled, they were quite surprised. Most of the analysts had expected answers that would suggest materialistic goals. But what they found was the three top things that people were looking for in life were love, joy, and peace. The first three things that Paul mentions is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I don't know whether the results of that survey would still hold true today. That was quite a number of years ago. But I have a feeling it wouldn't be far off. People, deep down, what they're looking for in life is the very things that the Spirit of God produces in our lives. But the problem is, while they're looking for the fruit of the Spirit, they don't have, and many times don't want, the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. Fruit is determined, the type of fruit is determined by the source. Third, fruit, true fruit, cannot be faked or imitated. Now, there's a contrast here between gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts are very much related to what we do. Fruit is related to, it's the result of what we are. Paul said in Galatians 5, verse 25, keep in step with or walk with the Spirit. Keep in line with the Spirit. Walk in a line behind the Spirit, directed and led by the Spirit. Because when you do, you will produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. We're called to live in such a way that it would encourage the growth of this fruit in our lives. And if we lack these elements of Christian character, then all of the things that we do, the service that we do for God, really does not profit a lot. Now, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when we talk about love, we'll see that again. But he says, if I have all of these gifts, if I can do all of these wonderful things, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. There's a big contrast between gifts and fruit. And Paul implies in his teaching that it is possible to employ a gift through carnal efforts. An immature, maybe even backslidden believer may get away with preaching like a prophet because he is really putting on a counterfeit gift. He is doing it in his own natural ability, and it's not real. It's not genuine. But what can't be faked or imitated is true Christian character. That is the fruit of the Spirit. James 3 verse 17 says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Good fruit comes from God, and it can't be imitated. If you had a fruit tree in your yard, an apple tree, and it just doesn't produce anything, I guess you could go and buy a whole bunch of these plastic fruit thing, you know, just tie them on the tree, and it looks good, but it's not going to last. It's not real. You can't fake that. And what matters most in life is Christian character, true Christian character, and there's no way to imitate that. We may try to imitate it and get away with it for a while, but only true character will stand before the scrutiny of God. Well, there's one more thing. It's very important, and that is that good fruit needs to be cultivated. There are some things in this passage in John 15 that are suggested, several things, three things that I want to mention that are at least hinted at in this chapter. Weeding, pruning, and abiding. Weeding, of course, we know what that means. If you ever keep a garden, weeding means getting rid of all the stuff that's unproductive, the stuff that hinders the growth of what you want, the growth of true fruit. Pruning is cutting out the unproductive parts or cutting back the excess so that the energy is put into the fruit. I know we don't do it as regularly as we should, but I know that sometimes when Val is growing tomato plants, you start pruning off, cutting off some of the excess growth so that the energy doesn't just all go into leaves, it produces fruit. And I prune the raspberries, take out all the dead stalks. But something I've started doing is clipping off the top of all the other stalks, the good ones, because then it sends out a whole bunch of shoots and they all produce raspberries. And, that's pruning, cutting back the excess so that the energy goes into producing fruit. And then there's abiding, staying close to the vine, and he talks about that. Well, these all have this spiritual results or spiritual application to them. Weeding, removing the undesirable things. Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. If it's not productive, you have to weed it out. If it doesn't produce anything, you get rid of it. And you get rid of the stuff that hinders the growth of fruit and the development of fruit. Pruning. Cutting back the excess. Pruning. He says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Putting the energy into that which produces fruit, not into the, I guess you could call it fluff or whatever, the stuff that may look good, but it doesn't have any lasting value. And then abiding, staying in contact. If you break a branch off, it doesn't produce anymore. Abiding, staying close to the vine. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself And neither can you, he says. I am the vine. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Staying close in contact with the source of strength. A science teacher one time brought a branch into his lecture room. He explained that the previous summer he had broken this bough when the tree was in full leaf. He'd been careful not to sever it completely from the trunk so that the sap could still flow into it. And the winter season came and most of the old foliage, the leaves, fell off of the tree. Spring followed, and with it the usual rising of the sap. But on this one particular branch, many of the old leaves were still there. They remained. Even now, when he brought it into the classroom, although it had been completely broken off for several months, the leaves were still firmly attached. There'd been enough nourishment to keep it alive and produce a little bit of fruit, but not enough nourishment to throw off all the dead remnants of the previous season. And then we see a bit of a picture in that. We have new life in Christ. We've been born again, but sometimes because of maybe disobedience or failure to let Christ's words dwell in us the way they ought to, the flow of His life is hindered in our lives. And there may be some limited fruitfulness, but the old fleshly traits still remain. They're not cast off, like those old dead leaves got stuck there. Alexander McLaren said, "We are not to be content with a little fruit, a poor shriveled bunch of grapes that are more like marbles than grapes here and there upon the half-nourished stem. The abiding in Him will produce a character rich in manifold graces." Fruit. Fruit is the most important thing in our lives as Christians. We are called. Jesus said, "I chose you and appointed you to go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." But if that is to happen, we need to cultivate our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we'll develop the fruit of righteousness, a godly Christian character. I want to conclude by reading a bit of an article. This was written by Donald Cole many years ago. It appeared in the September 83 issue of Moody Monthly Magazine. And he says, "As believers, if you and I exercise a gift, it's likely our effectiveness will someday diminish. In my life, for instance, I've enjoyed numerous opportunities to teach and preach. But what happens now that I'm growing old? Will God be through with me before I go home? Young and old, as we look to the future, we find this comforting encouragement from God's Word. In Psalm 92, it says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him.'" Even in old age, gifted or not, we can bear fruit. Nothing is sweeter than Christ-like character in aging people. But that character is growing, not conferred in response to a prayer or two. The young man who prayed that he would not be an evil old man was well advised to start now in becoming what he would be in old age. Righteous in his youth, he would be righteous in his final days, still fresh and green. At the end of your life and mine, gifts or talents will seem to have mattered little. What matters is fruit, the godly character of a Christian who wanted to be like Jesus. And so the question we must ask ourselves is, what kind of fruit am I producing? When it comes to fruit, what we are is far more important than what we do. But what we do grows out of what we are. It is fruit that will last. Our character will go with us into eternity. Our character is what will leave a legacy for those who come after us. So let's abide in Christ and allow Him to produce His fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, in us. in the weeks to come, the plan is to begin looking at those 9 items, one at a time: love, joy, peace, patience, and so on down the list. But let us allow the Spirit to have His way in our lives to produce that fruit in us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word that speaks to us. Lord, we pray that our lives would be built on Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would be abiding in Him, that we might produce and bear much fruit for You. Lord, just continue to speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.